Good morning. Today's scripture reading is coming from Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27. Again, that's Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27. And it reads, "And that is, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Amen. Good morning.
If you will, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, beginning in verse 19. "There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, who was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed of the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried." Well, let me go back. It says, "And moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores." Keep that in your mind. "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom. The rich man died also and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes and seeth Abraham far off and being in torments. He said, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember thou in thy lifetime, thou receiveth good things, and Lazarus likewise receiveth evil things. Now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Do you know what the rich man asked Abraham to have Lazarus to do? To dip his finger in water, that he may cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Abraham goes on to say, "And likewise, besides us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from us to thence cannot, neither can they which would pass from you to us cannot." So there will be no passing over this great gulf. This gulf was fixed. It was fixed. And so he said unto Abraham, "Father Abraham," he said, "therefore, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them that they repent, that they not come to this place of torment." So he now is concerned about his five brethren, He wants Lazarus now, the one he did not help, to go to his brethren, to testify unto them, lest they come to this place of torment. Isn't that something? That is something. "And Abraham said unto him," he said, "they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "But nay, Father Abraham, if one would come back to them from the dead, they would repent." So now he's thinking, if Lazarus will come from the dead and testify to his five brethren, they will repent. What does that say about how his brethren are living also? Interesting. "But Abraham said unto him, if they believe not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." Good morning to you. Today, I am privileged to be standing here before you in the absence of Greg Dismuke, who's doing a great work down in Texas, and also he'll be in Tennessee. So keep him in your prayers as he is doing a great work. Bid him Godspeed, and that all things will go well, that God will be glorified, that people will be edified, and that some souls might be saved. And that's our wish for, or our prayer, even this morning as I come to you with the word of God. We're going to speak on a grim subject this morning. We're going to speak on the subject of death. As Christians, we know that death had its beginning in the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve sinned, death was born, and death has plagued man ever since. From the very beginning, old mysterious death have left people with many confusing questions to answer. You can't see death. Nature hides that. You can't see spirit depart from the body. So you can't see it, but you can see its effects. But death is often depicted as this creepy, grim reaper, dressed in an old dark hooded cloak, and he's with those long skeletal fingers, and he's carrying a scythe. That's a long blade, as if he's going to come to cut life right out of you. But if death was a person, and we could ask him some questions, perhaps it would go like this. So this morning, we're going to have an interview with death. An interview with death. Mr. Death, some believe that there is even, don't believe that there is even a such thing as death. They question your reality. Are you truly real? Are you truly real? Well, turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Turn to your scriptures, and it reads, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment." And as it is, death is. Death is. Is means to be. It means to be a reality, to have an objective existence. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, God created man from the dust. In Genesis 2:17, God commanded man, "Thou shalt not eat, or thou shalt surely die." And then in Genesis 3:19, God cursed man, "For dust thou art, and to the dust thou shalt return." That's after man had sinned in the garden and death was born. So therefore, death is irrefutable. It is irrefutable. That means impossible to deny, impossible to prove wrong by argument. Just take a look around you. Take a look around you. Just turn to the news or pick up the obituary section in the newspaper, and you'll see death is all around us. There's not one person living on earth that has not been affected by death. I was just at work the other day, heard the sirens passing by our building, looked outside. What did I see? A funeral procession going by. There's not one person that has not been affected in some way by death, and there's not one person who will not be affected by death in some way in their lifetime. 1 Peter 1 and verse 24. "For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away." So it was with the beggar and the rich man. In Luke 16:22, it says, "And it came to pass that the beggar died. The rich man also died." So they both died. So you can make all the plans that you want, but they won't trump the plan of God. In James 4:14, "Whereas you know not what will be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away." So therefore, death, it is irrefutable. But Mr. Death, some believe that our technology, eventually man will find a way to live forever. Will man find that so-called fountain of youth? Hebrews 9:27. Once again, "And as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment, as it is appointed." Appointed means officially set or fixed. And this appointment was fixed by God. It was fixed by God. "Thou shalt surely die," is what God said. In James 4:14, it says, "Whereas you know not." No, that means we don't know when death will come. No, we don't. It may come with warning. You may have an incurable disease or the effects of aging, etc. Or it may come suddenly, tragically, a tragic accident, a senseless criminal act. You know, just recently, we heard about that German airliner that crashed. That was two acts there. You know, you had the airline crashing, but you also had the co-pilot who sent it into its depth. Nobody knows why. They think the man may have had a mental condition. But you know what? Those 150 passengers on board, they had no idea that death was coming. And it came. No matter what, the appointment will come. Listen to this poem. Our very hope belied our fears. Our fears and hopes belied. We thought she dying while she slept and sleeping when she died. You just don't know. No matter how long it takes, though, it will be soon. Psalm 90 and verse 10. The days of our lives, and this is from the New King James, the days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they are 80, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. We just sung the song. Some glad morning. And let's hope it'll be a glad morning. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. Let's hope it'll be a glad morning. So the reality is, death is irresistible. It's irresistible. It's impossible to resist. Again, in Luke 16, I told you to keep your Bible marked there and marked on Hebrews 9:27, because those are the two scriptures we're going to go back and forth to. In Luke 16:27 said, it came to pass that the beggar died. It came to pass the rich man also died. That means their time came. Their appointment came. Man can spend trillions of dollars searching, but there's no fountain of youth. You know, the song says, secure is life from mortal mind. God holds the germ within his hand. Though men may search, they cannot find, for God alone does understand. Our God, he is alive, and he only holds the key to life. Only God, and he made the appointment. Psalm 22 and verse 29, it says, all they that be fed upon the earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him. And none can keep alive his own soul. That's in scripture. None can keep alive his own soul. The rich man's riches couldn't keep him alive. For death is an officer that can't be bribed. It can't be bribed. Mr. Death, some have a hard time understanding why good people die, or those who do all the right things to take good care of their health. Is death really fair? No, people actually ask that question. It's just not fair. Again, Hebrews 9 and verse 27. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment, and as it is appointed unto man. That word is generic. It means mankind, male and female, men, women, and children, all people. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 20, it says, all go into one place. All are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. It says all. No one is exempt. Romans 5 and verse 10, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So the reality is, death is irrespective. It is without discrimination. It is impartial. Death is no respecter of persons. You go back to Luke again, verse 16 and verse 22, it says, and it came to pass that the beggar died. The rich man died also. Death took no pity on that poor beggar, and death had no respect for the rich man. Both died. Both died. The rich, the poor, the righteous, the unrighteous, the black, white, Spanish, Asian, sick, healthy, it doesn't matter. All will die. All will die. Because think about this. None on this earth has been or ever will be better than Jesus Christ himself. Amen. The greatest preacher, teacher, leader of men, follower of God to ever walk the earth, of whom God said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased, died. Think about that. Jesus himself died. Mr. Death, some say when we die, we come back as something else. A flower, or our favorite animal, or our spirits come back to watch over our loved ones. Do we come back? Again, check your scriptures. Hebrews 9 and verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. And as it is appointed unto men once to die. Once. One time and no more. We have only one chance at life. You can't come back for another try. There will be no retest. There will be no second chance. The reality is, death is irreversible. It is irreversible. It's impossible to reverse. Now turn back to Luke chapter 16 for a second. Listen to the words again. Beginning in verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would have sent him to my father's house. Again, this is the rich man asking that Lazarus would be sent to his father's house. Lazarus, who also has died, now he wants him to come back. For I have five brethren, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went to them from the dead, they would repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded that one rose from the dead. Well, I submit to you that one has risen from the dead, Jesus Christ himself. And today we have something far greater than Moses and the prophets. We have the gospel. We have the gospel. And today, if they hear not the gospel of Jesus Christ, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now, I'll say this, and I'll say this carefully, because there are some people who do report seeing things after people die. And let me tell you something. When a mind is undergoing trauma because of the death of a loved one or someone close, the mind can do many things. The mind is very powerful. But I want to tell you this. Are you going to trust in the trauma of your mind or in the truth of God's message? The choice is up to you. Proverbs 3 and verse 5 says, trust in the Lord and lean not to thine own understanding. You got to make the choice of who you're going to trust. You're going to trust yourself and your mind undergoing trauma, or are you going to trust God in his word? The truth or the reality of the matter is, let's take another one. Some say that when we die, we will all cease to exist. When we die, is that the end, Mr. Death? Again, Hebrews 9 and verse 27, and as the appointed unto man wants to die, and after this, that means there is something to follow. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. We're not like the animals. Our spirits will go somewhere. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 21, who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? We will not be like Rover, once dead all over. That's not how we will die. There is something to follow. And therefore, the reality is, death is irreducible. It is irreducible. It cannot be reduced to a simpler form. When we die, we immediately go to this place called Hades. In Luke chapter 16, again, after the beggar died, it says that he was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. But then in the very following verse, it says, and in hell. That word hell there is more correctly translated as Hades when you look in the Greek. Hades is the place of the unseen, the realm of the dead, the disembodied spirits. When your spirit leaves your body, that is where it is going to go. But listen to what it says. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And then when he asked for Lazarus to come and dip his finger, to cool his tongue, that's when Abraham says, and beside all this, between us is a great gulf fixed. So you have three compartments in Hades. First of all, you have Abraham's bosom, also known as paradise. Remember when Jesus was on the cross with the thieves, and he said to one thief that had repented, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. That's the place of comfort. That's what we're reading about, Abraham's bosom. says comfort there, or bosom, that signifies blessedness. That means he was enjoying the same blessedness that all the faithful, such as Abraham, was enjoying. That poor man Lazarus was now in the comfort and blessedness. And then there's the place of torment. Bassanos. Anguish. Intense pain. It is a place of a tormenting flame. The rich man would say, "For I am tormented in this flame." So he was in torments while Lazarus was in comfort. But then there was the great gulf. The great gulf. Great comes from the Greek word megas. You know, for the kids here who like the Transformer, they have one of the Transformers called Megatron. It means he's big. Mega means huge, big. And then the gulf comes from the word chasma. We get our word chasm, which means a gaping opening. And it says it was fixed, sterizo, a set in place, and it can't be changed. And it separates the place of comfort from the place of torment. There's no crossing over. Amen. Once you're there, you're there. Amen. There is no crossing over. It is in Hades where we await the final judgment. So we haven't reached final judgment yet, my friend. You're in Hades waiting. And death cannot be reduced to any simpler form than that. No, we're not like Rover, once dead all over. Finally, Mr. Death. Many say I am going to die anyway. May as well live any way I want to. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Well, let's go back to your scriptures once more. Hebrews 9 and verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this," this is where we were getting to, "the judgment." The judgment. It says the judgment. The definite article, meaning there's only one. Just one. There will only be one judgment. Judgment meaning the final reckoning of mankind. In Revelation 20 and verse 12, it says, "And I saw the dead, small and great," huh? Rich man and Lazarus, small and great, "stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to" what? "Their works." Yeah, it does matter how you live. The reality is, death will not be pleasant for the irresponsible. God has made you a steward over your life. And you better be responsible for it. It does matter how you live. And it will not be pleasant for those who live irresponsibly. Let's go back to Luke chapter 16 once more. Verse 25, it says, "But Abraham says, Son, remember thou in thy lifetime," in thy lifetime, "receiveth thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." Yeah, it does matter how you live. So let's look at how they live. First of all, the rich man. He was rich. That means he was blessed with an abundance of earthly goods. He was clothed in purple. You know, purple was an expensive dye in that day, normally worn by royalty. Fine linen. Oh, man, this word, when I looked this up, I was really surprised. This was a material that was even finer than silk. It came from a shellfish they found in the sea, which has these little strands that reach out from his shell, where he can attach to things. They went out and got that and made that into some fine kind of linen. You knew that was expensive. That had to be expensive. And then it says the beggar laid at his gate. The gate signifies that he was in a lavish dwelling, most likely a palace. He fared sumptuously. That means he made merry. And it said he did this every day. And it usually signified that there was some kind of feast involved. Thus, God provided him with a golden opportunity, because he had riches to spare and riches to share, didn't he? It said he did this every day. Lifestyles of the rich and famous. You remember Robin Leach when he had that show? Lifestyles of the rich and famous. Well, that was this man. God provided him a golden opportunity to help his ailing neighbor, but he did not lift one finger to help Lazarus. He disobeyed God's law, the law of Moses. Love thy neighbor as thyself. But what about the poor man? How was he living? First, he was poor. That means lacking the basic necessities of life. Desiring to be fed, he was hungry, probably even starving. Full of sores, that means he was sickly and in poor health. The dogs licking his sores, that was the only medicine that this man could afford. Wow. Wow. But yet, he did not resort to stealing. He did not resort and turn to maiming others so that he could provide for himself. Though he was in such terrible health, there's no way he could have worked for his own self to provide for himself. But he did not turn to crime, did he? No. He turned to the only decent and dignified thing that he had left to do. Guess what that was? Begging. We need to think about that the next time we see somebody begging us for a handout. You know, you don't know what state those people are in. Yeah, there's some out there that are using us, despitefully using us, as the Bible would say. But there are others that are legitimately begging because they have nowhere else to go except to turn to crime. He obeyed the law of Moses, respecting God's command, thou shalt not steal. Now that we saw how they lived, now let's look at how they died. Lazarus was carried by the angels. The rich man, it said, was buried. You ever think about that? Just said he was buried. Lazarus was carried to Abraham's bosom. The rich man to a flame. Lazarus was in comfort. The rich man was in torments. Lazarus was blessed, and the rich man is now begging. And one more final point. Lazarus was named. The rich man, we don't know what his name was. Wow. We're going to come back to that. Whatever. Death to those who are not responsible is not pleasant to God. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11. It says, and say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. It does matter how we live. Hades is just the first part. For the irresponsible, the final judgment will be a fate even worse than death. Revelation 20 and verse 12, starting. Let us turn there. And it says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things, which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man again according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which was in them, and death and hell, and they were judged according to their works, and death and hell were cast into what? The lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You know, death may come soon, but it will come too soon for some, just like the rich man, because it came before he repented. Amen. And if his brethren, his five brethren, had not repented, then death came too soon for them also. And if we do not repent of our sins, death will come too soon for us also. But for those who are responsible, now let's turn this to a positive light. For those who are responsible, Psalm 116 and verse 11, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Revelation 14 and verse 13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Yes, it matters how we live. And brethren, if we're in Christ, we're going to conclude with how death will be to us. But before we do anything, I will be remiss if we did not go to Matthew chapter 25, that great judgment scene. These are the words of Jesus. Jesus would say in his passage of scripture, starting in verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall he gather all nations, and he shall separate one from another as the shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king shall say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hunger, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? Or saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as if you have done it to the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. It does matter how we live. But then he said unto those on the left hand, the goats, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Everlasting means everlasting. There is no stopping. This is worse than Hades, because now you know there is going to be no end. No end. Prepare for the devil and his angels. And then in verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment. You thought it was bad when you got a whipping from your mom and dad? You didn't die. The pain's gone. Imagine everlasting. The lake of fire. That's punishment. That's real punishment. And that's what sin results in. But then to the righteous, they will go into everlasting or eternal life. Yes, it does matter how you live. You cannot live like a goat and die like a sheep. It just won't happen. So in conclusion, what can we say? Nature conceals and science confuses. But the Christian will conquer death. We'll have our victory. And we'll have our victory over death. And death will be cut out of the picture for us. Are you prepared? Are you prepared for the irrefutable, irresistible, irrespective, irreversible, irreducible, and not so pleasant for the irresponsible realities of death? If you're not, you can start today. And the way you start is by that one thing we brought up before. If they hear not the gospel, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Well, Jesus did rise from the dead. And he told his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. That's how you start. That's how you start. And it's not until then can you really start and then begin to live a life before God that will matter. That will matter. And you can be like the Lazarus, the one who was in comfort. And guess what? When you read in Revelation, we talked about those whose names were written in the book of life. I think that is why Lazarus' name was given in this account, and that old rich man was not given. Because that just signified whose name was going to be there. Let us pray that our names will be written in the Lamb's book of life. But you have to start by obeying the gospel. Be baptized. You know, we have the water here ready for you. You need to repent and be baptized and have your sins washed away. And when you raise up the walk in newness of life, then you come and you assemble with the saints every first day of the week. And then you go out and you live your life before your fellow man and before God in a way that will bring glory to God before your fellow man. And if you are a Christian and you have been baptized into Christ and you know you haven't been living right, why don't you make it right today and repent? Don't be like the rich man who death came too soon, and don't be like his brethren. Have somebody in Hades or in paradise in the place of comfort hoping that they can send somebody back for you. so that you can repent. No, just hear the gospel. You know what the gospel says. So come, if you will, as we stand and sing the song of invitation, and have your knees taken and start your life living right by Christ so that you can die right.
Careless soul, why will you?